B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Let me get out. And I was like, before I could even say anything, she like slapped the car again, called me it again, and walked away. And I was almost like, wow, I got a person in Wisconsin that angry.
Wow. Yeah.
It's about time you show your true colors,
That'll
Wisconsin.
That'll last a year for her, probably.
She probably feels really guilty about it today. Even now, it's like 3 years later, she probably feels terrible about it. She scared the hell out of my buddy, who I worry was riding shotgun. Jim, West Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up there, Jim? Jim?
Hey,
buddy. Hey, man.
I was just calling. I had a lot of people calling up and making excuses for the Mike Scott situation. There's absolutely nothing wrong with people, you know, repping their team. The guy didn't do nothing wrong. They're saying, Scott's saying that he should have walked up there and said, they didn't even know he was Mike Scott. He was a regular Redskins fan. So, one thing, a star, he's not a star. He's one of the blue collar guys that plays the Philadelphia 76ers. Not everybody know him. So, I'm just saying, like, these dudes are just idiots.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a few of them out here. Do you see anything wrong with somebody repping their team?
Yeah, I don't have a problem if somebody wants to rep their team. I have a problem with somebody that wants to punch that other person in the face because they're repping their team. Like I talked about yesterday, Jim, and thanks for the call. When I look at somebody else in another jersey, I'm like, what the hell is this person doing here? That kind of thing. But I don't have the thought, yeah, let me go punch that guy in the face. Or let me go make sure I ruin that guy's day. Like, drinking or no drinking? Like, you know this, what is it, in Vino Veritas? In wine, there is truth,
yes.
Right? In alcohol, a lot of truth comes out. The feels come out, right?
Okay.
Whatever it is, that's in there somewhere. That feeling is in there. That feeling of wanting to get violent with somebody or ruin somebody. Regardless of alcohol, that's there. The alcohol only makes it come out. So that's what's disturbing about it. Any way you want to slice it, that's what's disturbing about it. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. The 9 o'clock hour is brought to you by The Bagster. Dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebagster.com. And you are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic. WPN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio. Yesterday, we got to catch up with our good friend Hugh Lamont Douglas III, a.k.a. Bullet Wound, who is from 92.9 The Game, your former teammate, our current friend. And we tried to get to the bottom of a couple of things, but we started out by being able to exchange pleasantries when I said, Hugh, what's going on, brother?
Marzetta, you got mad on me. Didn't invite me to the wedding. I want to go to Italy.
You want to go to Italy? I'm sorry. I think as you assumed, your invitation got lost in the mail. My apologies, brother.
He got lost in it. No, it's cool, man. Congratulations, brother.
Thank you, brother. You know what? It's funny. When I sent the invitation, I sent it to Bullet Wound in Atlanta, and I guess they just didn't know who that was.
I keep trying to tell them they got to put some respect on it and call it Senor Bullet Wound.
Yeah, man. Hey, listen, Trey, I'm trying to keep this job, dog. I can't be down here acting like I did in Philly.
Now, we are going to call you Bullet Wound for the majority of the show here, Hugh Douglas. Hugh Lamont Douglas, the third Bullet Wound. But first up, what's the origin of that name?
I remember. I forgot which game it was, but I fell out on the field. And I think it was training, and they were teasing me because they were like, dog, you got shot out there. Like, you got a bullet wound or something. And it kind of just stuck. After that, they just started calling me Bullet Wound, man.
Hugh, we have to ask you, Bullet Wound, when you were evaluating the Eagles before the season started, what were your expectations for the Eagles season?
You know what's funny? When I went up there, the Eagles were talking about some of the same things they were talking about down here in Atlanta. The lack of pass rush off the edge. And that was the biggest issue. High-powered offense, got a lot of weapons, but where's that outside perimeter pass rush going to come from? And that was it, because you know you had the two guys in the middle. You know, you got Fletch in the middle for the Eagles, and you got Grady Jarrett in the middle for the Atlanta Falcons. So that wasn't the issue. It's that perimeter pass rush that was the biggest concern.
So the Eagles just find out a couple of days ago now that Malik Jackson is going to be missing a significant amount of time. I mean, Fletcher Cox is a stud, obviously, but Malik Jackson next to him was no joke. How much of an impact is it going to be to not have him now on that defensive line?
You know what? It's going to hurt. But you got Tim Jernigan back there, man. You know, Tim was a starter at one point. So you got him that's going to come in, and, you know, hopefully you don't miss that big of a beat. But when you lose a guy like that, it definitely hurts you. But in the NFL, Trey will tell you, it's next man up mentality. You got to go out there and ball out.
Absolutely. So now when you look at what the Falcons are presenting, just, you know, within their, when you look at their second preseason game, Ryan was sacked 3 times, and then coming off of this game with the Vikings being sacked 4 times, I mean, what is going on with their offensive line and with Ryan, what's going on there?
Man, you know what, when I watched the game, Trey, the biggest thing that I thought, like the first play of the game, somebody wants to go deep on that Minnesota defensive line, like somebody said, hey, guess what? I'm about to fool them. I'm going to throw the ball to Julio Jones. He just got $66 million. So we're about to throw the ball to him. And somebody missed their block. You get sacked. And you know, just like anybody, Trey, defensive linemen get to the quarterback that early in the game, they're smelling blood and water. They're not calling off the dogs. They're coming every play. Because that's like, you know what I mean? That's just like blood. Like I said, blood and water. And they're coming. And that's what happened. Didn't establish the run. Got away. I think they got away from it a little bit too early. You know, it all depends on who you're talking to. They'll tell you that, you know, the run wasn't established. There was nothing there. And they got into a situation where they settled down in the second half, but it was too late. Minnesota had all the momentum at that point.
Speaking with Bullet
Wound. Senor
Bullet Wound. 92-9, the game now down in Atlanta. So when you evaluate really this Eagles roster and that Falcons roster, and we got the game coming up on Sunday night, prime time in Atlanta.
Prime time.
At Mercedes-Benz Stadium, are we calling that? What's the official name?
It's the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Hey, listen, dog. It's probably the nicest stadium that you will ever be in. Listen, if y'all coming down, dude, they got unlimited soda. It's like you buy the cup, dog, and you can drink soda all day long. We got dollar hot dogs. We got, you know, we got the tailgate. We got...
Wait. Now, when you're talking about tailgate now, there was something posted down there that the Miami Dolphins were doing at their tailgate. Can we find that same type of activities?
You talking about twerking?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know, Trey, they get naked down here. They naked. Like you know what? Shout out to cheerleaders, my man John, and all the other strip clubs in Philadelphia. I don't go to the strip clubs down here, but I do know from I've heard from a reliable source that they get butt naked down here.
So what you're trying to tell me is that if you're at the tailgate, if you catch a hint of cocoa butter and Badusi in the air, we should know what's going down.
No, it goes down at the tailgate. It's going to be hot outside, too. But you know, like they say about Atlanta, no sand, no beaches.
No sand, no beach.
The hell with the roster. Who cares after that?
Hugh, what do you see as the biggest advantage for Atlanta going against the Eagles and then vice versa? What the biggest advantage the Eagles might have over the Falcons?
Man, you know what? I would still say that the advantage would be, you know, Julio Jones. Like, Julio Jones is such a phenomenal receiver, man. Big, strong, fast. He's a guy that you got to have three people on. I'm talking about a linebacker, a corner, and a safety. Because you got to have somebody buzzing, bracketing. You got to have somebody on him covering him. You got to have somebody bracketing him coming from the linebacker spot. And you got to have somebody over the top. I mean, he's that special of a player. So you're talking about three on one. Now you got Calvin Ridley. He looks like he's going to be a young man that's poised to be a pretty good receiver in this game. And then you look at Mohamed Sanu. Mohamed Sanu's a good receiver, guy that can do it all. He can throw the ball. He can kick punts. He can return punts. He's like a jack-of-all-trades. And then you have Devontae Freeman, Ito Smith. You have a plethora of backs back there. Quadri Olison is another young man. Didn't dress out last week, but he's a guy that if he dresses out, he could be a problem. He's a big running back that likes to run physical. He's a physical runner. And on the Eagles side, man, listen, Fletcher Cox, grown man. Fletcher Cox. And then you look at that offensive line for the Eagles. You're talking about some dudes that offensive linemen, and Trey will tell you this, that have a defensive lineman's mentality. I like all five of those guys. And you got Jason Peters out there, too. That's a mean offensive line that will take your lunch money and go buy chicken nuggets with your money and let you see it. Like, they don't care. They buy chicken nuggets with your money that they took out of your pocket and showing you and eating in front of your face. That's how nasty they are, man. And then to be in the body issue like they're butt naked and back-to-back like they were, they don't care about nothing. They don't care about nothing.
See, that just confirms what I was saying is that, you know, you got five badasses that went and took that picture, man.
Yeah, like, they don't care. Like, dude, like, when I saw that picture and then some of the poses that they took, you got to be a comfortable dude. And you got to be, like, a real ultimate badass, not to care what anybody thinks about you, to take those pictures. Like, seriously, real talk. Real talk.
And then went out there and shut down Washington.
Man, listen, went out there and handled their business. Now, we got some smaller guys over here on the defensive side of the ball for Atlanta. And I know that those guys have watched that film, and they're going to try to duplicate the same thing that the Minnesota Vikings were. And you know what the sad part about it is? That Minnesota offensive line, they had a rookie playing center. They had a rookie playing center. And you know, Grady Jarrett gave him the business. Grady Jarrett's a grown man.
Mm-hmm.
And he can play. But, dude, you got five dudes across the line that take great joy in mauling defenders. Nice. They take great joy in mauling. It's going to be a tough game, man, because, you know, Atlanta's coming off of that loss. They're going to have to get it at home. They're going to be hungry to get this one.
Now, what kind of season are you predicting for the Falcons overall, Hugh? Because, I mean, when you look at it from afar, there seems like the team that's really hot one year and then just in the tank the next. What are you expecting from the Falcons this year?
You know what, man? I expect the Falcons to be the playoff picture. I do. I don't think as bad as the Falcons looked last week, I don't think they're that bad. Matt Ryan's a good quarterback, man. Matt Ryan's a quarterback that should be mentioned in the same breath as the elite quarterback. For whatever reason, he doesn't get that kind of love down here. But Matt Ryan's a good quarterback, man. You talk about 8 seasons of throwing for over 4,000 yards. That's not easy to do. He's a good quarterback. He has some good weapons around him. I see them being in the playoffs when it's all said and done.
Speaking to Bullet Wound himself, Hugh Douglas from 92.9, the game in Atlanta. Last thing for you, at least for me, Bullet Wound, Hugh Douglas. Your prediction, I know it's early, but what is your early prediction for Eagles-Falcons Sunday night?
My prediction is that birds are going to fly. There's going to be feathers ruffled all over the place.
I'll let you get away with that.
That's the way to not answer it.
hey, man, I got to live here, dog. I got to come back to Philly. One day.
See, you saying that already lets me know who you think's going to win. Thank you.
No, it doesn't. No.
I know who you have.
You ain't about to get me in trouble. I live in Atlanta, like I said, and I love Philadelphia. You know I got love Philadelphia, so the birds are going to fly. There's going to be a lot of birds out there.
Wow.
All right, cool,
Bullet
brother.
Wound, thanks for joining us. Always great catching up with you, man. Best of luck and continued success down there at 92.9 The Game.
All right, new fellas, y'all have a good one.
All right, bro, take it easy, man.
Again, in the words of my Uncle George, you ain't fooling me none. He's picking the Eagles when he says the birds.
He doesn't want to say it because he knows the soundbite will get back to Atlanta.
Yeah.
And oh, there you go, loving Philadelphia again. Loving Philadelphia.
He had a Georgia Tech football take like 2 weeks ago saying they were going to get it, and apparently just got shredded by people down there.
Ripped him.
it's crazy. I mean, living up here, for everyone, like, for, I live my whole life up this way, right? Where college football is like not even secondary, it's like third and dairy. I don't know, like it's pro sports or bust, pretty much. Now there are college football fans. I'm not saying there's not, but it's not like the South. I'm there for every time I was in Atlanta, which was more than a handful of times over the last couple of years. If I was down there working a game, and somebody would say to me, "Hey, well, why are you in town? You know, what brings you to town, or something like that?" And I'd say, "Oh, the football game," and they go, "But Georgia played 2 nights ago,"
yeah,
or played last night, and I'd be like, "No, the Falcons game." They're like, "Oh yeah, that's right, the Falcons are here." Like it's that kind of thing. It's unbelievable to me. Oh, but the Bulldogs already played. No, the game Sunday night, not last night. Like the secondary thought for them is the NFL team.
Oh, that's cute. You work for the NFL. Yeah,
oh, you work for the pros. Go figure. Uh-huh. No, oh, go. But yeah, no, they'll cut you if it comes to ripping the Georgia, the Bulldogs, the Georgia Tech, whatever it might be. That's what they want to talk about down there, and that is just so foreign to me. And yeah, Hugh had that kind of vibe. My big thing from that interview is that this Eagles defensive line should be getting after it, Trey.
Oh, absolutely.
As you've highlighted for us throughout the morning,
mm-hmm.
That's what I look forward to seeing. And let's not make any mistake about it. Hugh's picking the Eagles.
That's what it sounds like.
Let's revisit our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation. Sam Wilson, what are we kicking around today?
This morning we asked, who do you have a shorter fuse with, Gabe Kapler or Jim Schwartz? We have just under 2,000 votes so far. 73% now say Gabe Kapler.
73%?
Yeah, dropped 1%.
Okay. I predicted it would be about 15 advantage Gabe. Just because Jim Schwartz at least has the fallback of, well, he did win a Super Bowl here. So I think that's where the question comes in. And they're the two active coaches, if you will, or manager and coordinator going on right now. And I know other people want to examine those other positions held in the city right now. Alain Vigneault, though, let's see what you got as the Flyers head coach.
He's undefeated.
Come on, just now. Just got an incredible new video board at the Wells Fargo Center that we talked about.
That is quite impressive. Check out Mark's Twitter handle. It is quite impressive what they unveiled yesterday.
It's been over the internet and all that stuff. Part of the $265 million worth of renovations at the Wells Fargo Center.
They used to build you a whole new arena.
Dude, now it's just renovations.
Yeah, now it's just upkeep.
Now it's like, we have new cup holders. You know, that's pretty much what it is. I mean, and they do have new cup holders, which they're lovely. But the video board's incredible. The Center City Club on the ice level or court level is just nothing short of spectacular. So we'll talk about that again. But talking about these two coaches, it seems like Jim Schwartz and Gabe Kapler are the two guys right now that get the most heat. Gabe Kapler, I've said, I don't feel like the Phillies are going to make the playoffs. I've been out on the Phillies for a while. I've been out on Gabe Kapler for a while, ever since the curveball machine incident with Bryce Harper, as I think is well documented by now.
I also don't think he's going to go anywhere.
But he's not. Yeah, I agree. I don't think I really don't think, if you're asking me to bet money, if either Jim Schwartz or Gabe Kapler will be returning, or whether or not they'll be fired, let's put it that way. I don't think either are getting fired.
No.
But I'm just talking about, in the eyes of the fans, who's on the shorter leash, if you will.
Oh, Gabe.
It has to be Gabe, right?
Yeah.
But when people talk about Jim Schwartz with how amped up they are for this football season, and they see a lot of the same mistakes that you saw in the early goings of last year with the secondary getting beat, I mean, people are chomping at the bit already with Jim Schwartz. I just get a sense that he's the guy that is the person that they'll complain about the most. And a lot of it's rightfully so. You see a lot of the same mistakes with guys not getting to the quarterback that should be getting to the quarterback when there is pressure applied. And then you see a lot of mistakes with guys not getting either over-the-top safety help deep in coverage, or guys just getting flat-out burnt by five steps, whether it be Sidney Jones or Rasul Douglas. That just seems to be where fans go when they look at the mistakes made by this defense. And by the way, the first touchdown scored against you, you have like seven missed tackles.
Yeah.
Not a good look for Jim Schwartz.
Yeah, but I think right now where it is also, too, is that they had covered the damn spread, man. They had
the bigger issue.
Back and covered the spread.
I'm still waiting for Jim Schwartz to Venmo me.
They fought back and covered the spread. So everybody that put money on the game, we like, oh, yeah, we're sitting nice. Damn. Damn.
So here's the comparison. So you made the comparison today between Kapler and Jim Schwartz.
Yes.
And here's what scares me.
Okay.
The big thing on the Phillies is you went into the season thinking you could be a contender, but knowing that you had that back end pitching.
Mm-hmm.
That how did you even think you could do something without upgrading? Is it kind of the same thing with the back end of the Eagles defense?
Okay.
How could you even go in there? You had Ronald Darby, who really didn't improve much and still young, and you made him your number one guy. You paid him number one money, but has he proven it yet? Now, I'm foreseeing, and this isn't factual, but you had other guys. Sidney Jones hasn't lived up to the number, first round pick, in air quotes, label that he came out with. Avante Maddox, okay, playmaker, but, smallish. You didn't really know about him. Rasul Douglas, too slow to play on the outside.
It's damn team!
Are they going into this? No, I mean, but, like, what scares me is if this secondary doesn't come to fruition, is it kind of like, well, why didn't you see it?
Right.
You won a Super Bowl with a very shaky secondary, or schematically very shaky, the way you play your secondary.
Mm.
It kind of worries me a lot. I'm more worried about this defense than you guys are. And I said that, on Monday morning at 4 o'clock. But, I'm thinking this defense is suspect right
now. I was with you in terms of acknowledging that the secondary wasn't as good as people are building up. When I say secondary, I mostly mean your corner
positions. The corners, exactly. Yeah. The corners, yes.
But I wasn't suspect when it came to the defense as a whole because of how good I thought the defensive line was going to be. They had some struggles in that first game of the season, obviously, and now you're missing Malik Jackson, as we talked about throughout the morning, as we talked about with Hugh Douglas moments ago. So I understand it's not going to get any easier, but you have to have that next man up mentality.
Sure.
You have to have those guys step up and play well. Now it's going to be more of a challenge, I think, for those defensive ends. Now they're going to have even more work cut out for them. And now it's going to be a matter of when you do have that pressure, they are getting the quarterback to help your secondary. And your secondary is, applying pressure on wide receivers as well, or any receiver, to make sure that the quarterback doesn't have a quick throw to make.
Something.
Right.
Give us something. Show us something.
And the reason this gets revisited again is because yesterday, and I know, Trey, you could stick your chest out a little bit for this, and rightfully so.
Uh-huh.
Yesterday, Jim Schwartz was asked about that 69-yard pass play that beat the Eagles secondary when they were able to take advantage of what Rasul Douglas was doing in the game.
Yeah, that was a pressure. Didn't get home on the pressure. Didn't cover very well. You know, every play there's a combination of a million things. You know, I mean, if a guy doesn't cover well, you can cover it up sometimes with, you know, somebody winning in pass rush or somebody winning on a blitz.
That's him acknowledging there was a blitz, him acknowledging that there was pressure, and that's, what, the number one criticism of Jim Schwartz?
It's also him acknowledging he doesn't like it.
Okay, perfect setup. So, as I get to that point, listen to how he talked about that criticism, more or less, in this next cut, where he's asked about another play where McLaurin, I believe this is the play that he beat Sidney Jones on, for an incompletion, but nonetheless, his secondary got burnt.
Yeah, that was another one. That actually was another pressure there, too. Everybody always wants a blitz, but nobody likes when those deep balls go up against blitz. But, yeah, it was a very similar situation.
In other words, they pick up the blitz. Guess what's wide open down the field? And it's like a little side talk he did there.
Oh,
like,
no, it's full-fledged stabbing the heart to the fans. Oh, you guys want this? I know more than you. Look what happens.
I tried your suggestion, and it didn't work.
This is what would happen if you guys were coaching. Wide-open bombs all the time. Trey, can you not blitz with safety help?
Yeah, you can blitz, right? I mean, you can send whatever.
It's Bob, just, let's not make this complicated.
I'm sorry. I didn't know everybody was on an island when you blitz.
Yeah, no, you can send whatever. It's just, you know, when you send them, do they know how to get home? You know, and like I said earlier, like once a blitzer comes in and he starts stutter stepping, if he starts chopping his feet, then he's already beat because he's not attacking now. And, you know, that's one of the things that you have to work on. And also, too, another thing I noticed when I was watching this game is rush discipline at times where you have both guys in the same hole. Now, I know that sounds weird, but for football terms as well.
I'm listening to you. I'm hanging on every word.
I was on you. I got you.
Right in the face right
I'm
now.
Good to go. Let's go. Two in the hole. Let's go.
You want to have rush discipline where you shouldn't have both guys caught up in the same hole. You have to pick your lane and make sure you're disciplined at times.
Can I examine one more thing?
Yes.
Really, it's just going back to the conversation we had with Hugh.
Uh-huh.
Hugh Douglas. Bullwood.
Bullwood.
What was the tailgating conversation you were bringing up?
Oh, my tailgating conversation? Oh, yeah, okay.
Well, what was the cocoa butter? What happened?
Look,
I blacked out for a second. What happened?
Well, what happened was that there was a tailgate down in Miami.
Yes.
Where, you know, they had some ladies down there, you know, performing on a stage, you know, so.
Thespians?
What's that?
Actors?
No. Oh. No, these were dancers that use poles from time to time.
Oh.
Some of the best boobs you can see in the city.
Absolutely. So, you know, when one sees something like that, I was like, hey, man, you know, just you catch a whiff of just cocoa butter and Badesi.
I wonder what you mean, Trey.
Look it up on the Urban Dictionary. Like, that is defined.
These pulls from time to time.
Yeah, from every now and then, one might catch a whiff of cocoa butter and Badesi in the air.
If I ever get a tattoo in my life, I believe the tattoo will say, Atlanta, no sand, no beaches.
No sand, no beaches.
As they say, don't bring sand to the beach.
There you go.
As they say. 610-632-0975. We got some fun happening right now, folks. Some fun happening. How about them undefeated Temple Owls, baby? We're giving away some tickets, ladies and gentlemen. Football Battles Maryland this Saturday, September 14th at noon at Lincoln Financial Field. All kids' tickets in 8th grade and younger can score a touchdown on the field following the game as part of the Parent-Child Touchdown Toss Day. That's awesome. Visit owlstix.com. Right now, we're giving away a pair of tickets to the fifth caller. Fifth caller to the contest line. 215-263-0975. That's 215-263-0975. Be the fifth caller and you'll win a pair of Temple tickets to go see them take on Maryland. Beat up on those Terps, baby. Go Owls. Coming up, we'll let you hear a little soundbite from our man Jason Stark yesterday when he talked about another guy in Philly. I'll just say this out of the gate. I got a little man crush on. His name's JT Real Muto. The Don himself. Time to the Fanatic 923.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Damn power.
Don't forget Ron Jaworski Show. That's back. Join Jaws tonight from 6 to 7 p.m. from the Ramblewood Country Club. You'll marvel at the show. The Ron Jaworski Show, that is. Have yourself a good time down there. That is a beautiful country club. Ramblewood?
Yeah.
Gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Absolutely gorgeous.
South Jersey.
Do we know who the guest is this week?
I don't.
I know Freddie. I know Freddie Mitchell. Fred X was there last week.
Yeah.
Freddie just is like, Freddie's like a social ninja. He just like smoke bomb and he appears. Like he's just, oh my God, Freddie Mitchell's here. No way. What's up, Freddie? Good to see you. FanFest, came to FanFest. Good to see Freddie Mitchell.
Yeah.
Maybe one of these days when we have McNabb on, we should just say, oh, and on the line with us also is Freddie Mitchell. You two talk. See how that goes.
That would be awesome.
I think you'd hear a click.
Hello, Donovan? Donovan?
I think they would talk.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Look at us solving problems.
Yes.
Look at us.
That's what we're here for.
Isn't it lovely? It's so lovely. So yesterday around 8 o'clock, we talked to Jason Starr. And my big concern is that they don't sign JT Realmuto at the end of the year.
Done deal.
JT, I would love to say
gotta
that.
Gotta be, right?
Where's the little nuggets being dropped?
Nah,
I haven't heard anything since the All-Star break.
They're taking the Howie approach.
No,
the
hell
more
with
you
the Howie
don't
approach.
Hear it, the more you know it's going to happen.
Tell me that you're very confident that JT Realmuto is going to be back in a Phillies uniform and that you didn't
I'm
just
very confident.
Change.
I'll tell you. Yeah, no. Jamie and I
is your name Matt Klentak?
I am I'm Jamie Lynch of Lynch Leaks. I'm very confident.
You know what I need? I need John Middleton. To like appear, to come to me in a dream and tell me.
Does it look like stupid money to you?
I need John
to leave Jeffrey Lurie's box. Calm down.
How great is that?
My buddy asked me yesterday. They were like, "If you were Middleton, I was like, "Yeah, I'd be at the Eagles game."
Yeah, John. You know, of all
100%,
the people,
I'd be in Lurie's box.
Of all, just to sidetrack for a second, of all the people that I've heard break down the Philly special in the Super Bowl, of all like the great football minds that I've heard break it down, the person that broke it down the best was John Middleton. And I'm not even kidding you at all. I asked him about it. I interviewed him a couple years ago. And he gave the most beautiful, elegant breakdown of that play. And it was pure poetry.
Philly.
The way he described it.
Huh.
Can
you give us a snippet?
I can't because I can't imitate brilliance. I try, but I can't.
What was different about his explanation than the other thousand that you heard?
The emotion and the passion.
Did he shed a tear?
I shed a tear listening to
him. Was he Trey-like at FanFest?
He wasn't.
It was an emotional time for me, Bobby.
But I was. Dude, I was right there for you. I was not making fun of you. I thought it was awesome.
But he broke it down beautifully. But here's the thing. With JT Realmuto, to go back to the subject, JT Realmuto is a guy I need to hear somebody say in the organization that they're more than confident he's going to come back and negotiations and all that stuff. I haven't heard anything since the All-Star break.
The only thing you heard was him saying, I want to be here forever.
Yeah, well, that was at the All-Star game.
Yeah.
But what's happened since the All-Star? Our game.
Jason did say, you know, they've had some preliminary kind of talks. Like there's an understanding of maybe a ballpark figure, I think is what Jason was implying.
Hold on, wait for it. That's the sound of it not moving. Thank you very much.
Okay.
All right.
It turtled up.
I turtled. It's acorn. So
it ran back inside.
So like, I just want to hear that confident, yes, he's our guy. He's going to be here for a long time because, like, let's not forget, like, Sixto Sanchez, the guy they gave up, was a pretty valuable draft pick farmhand for this team and is most likely going to do some good things at the major league level. Now, I was all for the trade, but you got to make sure you bring him back. Jason Stark, when we asked him about it yesterday, is this now? Here's the thing: I just saw that this was him talking about JT Realmuto. This isn't the whole bromance lead up, is it? Do we know?
I don't know.
Oh boy, roulette! Cut roulette! I hate when we have to play this game. Jason Stark on JT Realmuto.
From the day they made that trade, I think there was a commitment to keep him, to keep the player, and they know that this is going to be a big ticket item. Is it going to be the largest catcher contract of all time? I'm not sure about that, but JT Realmuto is the best catcher in the sport. I'm going to say he's the best catcher who has passed through this town since since I can recall watching baseball.
Ever.
That includes Darren Dalton.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The incredible range of skills is just undeniable. So you're going to have to pay him whatever it takes.
That was poetry. That I loved to hear. I just need to hear it from somebody with the Phillies that they're confident. They're almost. I want to hear somebody sound John Middleton like bullish that they are going to re-sign JT Realmuto. Now, here's the other thing. If they do make that happen, and Jason Stark obviously knows enough people to get a hint as to whether or not it is going to happen, whether or not it is going to come to fruition. But the other part of the conversation we had with Jason Stark yesterday was about budget for the Phillies. And are they going to throw all that money at JT Realmuto and not throw it at a starting pitcher? So I asked him about Spencer Howard. And let me just say this before we play the cut. Before anything gets mentioned with Spencer Howard, the person that is the biggest name probably in free agency in the starting pitching market this offseason, one of them at least, Garrett Cole, right?
Right. Yep.
All right, Jason Stark.
He's good at throwing baseballs. Yeah.
Jason Stark, I said to him, all right, well, basically, Spencer Howard, what can we expect from him? What have you heard about Spencer Howard?
It's hard not to get excited. You know, I mean, talking to guys from other teams, scouts who've gone through Clearwater and Reading and seen him, I had a guy say to me, he could be Garrett Cole. He's at least a number two. He could be one of the best pitchers in the sport. It's a really interesting background and a really interesting kid, and they would love to get him here next year. His innings count is going to be an issue. They're going to send him to the Fall League to try to get him innings so that if he does get here next year, you don't wind up in like a Strasburg-type situation. But he's going to pitch fewer innings this year than last year, and I mean, it's going to be difficult, even if you get him here next year, to ride him like to the Rookie of the Year award or to October.
Understood.
Because innings are going to be an issue.
And I get that with Spencer Howard, but as you heard just there, the first name that you heard was Garrett Cole.
Right. Yeah.
How quick can he be Garrett Cole? Because if they're looking
I'd rather just have a Garrett Cole and him.
Yeah. Hey, I'm on board with
that.
It's
like two Garrett Coles.
So, my word.
Garrett Cole light.
There's an older Garrett Cole. And there you go, Garrett Cole. Who's not named Garrett Cole. His name starts with how.
One's going to cost you a lot of money.
Right, but that's my point.
Well,
is that what they're talking about? If they sign JT Realmuto, it's like, oh, well, we don't need to get Garrett Cole because we have Garrett
Cole.
They
better not, because they're
damn right they better not.
They're 11th overall in payroll in Major League Baseball. Like, yeah, they spent some money this past offseason. It's still not even close. They're at, I believe, like 156. And there's four teams that are over 200. So they still have a lot of money to spend. And if you're going to be a major market team with a major market TV contract and revenue stream and all that stuff, then you better spend like one. And right now they're not. So you better get Garrett Cole. The only problem is Boston is going to want Garrett Cole too.
Mm.
And they're not afraid to spend either.
Oh, and of course. And then when it's about to come to fruition and the Yankees will sneak in and, you know, all the people that have
money. You got to spend like a big boy.
Right. But can we at least just ask for them to be involved in these talks? Like, and beyond just...
Oh, if they're not involved, I'm embarrassed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't want them to just rest on their laurels. I want the money to be there. I want them to go out and spend that money.
You can get JT and Garrett.
Let's do it.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Nola, let's say it's Nola, Garrett, Arrieta's your third, Vargas is your fourth, and then you could put Howard fifth, and now we're cooking with gas.
Mm. And then you sprinkle in a little bit more of your farm system. Like, Tingery becomes an everyday guy.
Yeah, get Cesar out of here.
Bohm becomes an everyday guy. You know, now you can legitimately say we spent and we grew. And you got Spencer Howard up here. So you could have three and Aaron Nola. You could have these guys that you brought up through the system that you can showcase and say, look, everybody thought our system was bad, but we got four guys here that are legitimately contributing. And then sprinkle in the Garrett Coles and the JT Realmutos and obviously the Bryce Harpers.
And as Jason Stark did point out, last year in Lakewood, he pitched 112 innings. And then this year, pitching for four different teams in the Phillies minor league organization, totaled out at 71 innings pitched. That's not a lot.
No.
No, it is not. He's going to pitch, as Jason said, far fewer innings. And then this year, if you added it all up, a 2.03 ERA, including his most recent 2.35 ERA for the Reading Fightin' Phils. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Tell you this. You got to get both. You bring up Spencer Howard next year, if not give him a start or two, because the Phillies aren't making the playoffs. You get him a start or two at the end of this year, no longer contention in my opinion. And then you go and you build on for next year.
Yeah.
That's my take.
Yeah,
that's
I agree.
My take. And spend that money.
I don't want to hear just Howard is the move. You need to spend. on top of bringing him up.
Oh, but he's Garrett Cole.
Mm, yeah, and not until he proves it at the big league level.
610-632-0975. All right, coming up, we got Scott in Barrington, we got Kenton in Lexington, and then you, 610-632-0975. Time at the Fanatic, 941.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Once again, don't forget about the Ron Jaworski Show. Back tonight, Jaws, 7 o'clock, excuse me, 6 o'clock to 7
Sensational.
O'clock.
Sensational.
At the Ramblewood Country Club. Also tomorrow.
What do, baby?
Yeah, you. We'll examine a little further our tool of the week. I think we know who that is. Brought to you by Hollis True Value and Garden Center. All plants, trees, and shrubs. Now buy one, get one free at Hollis True Value and Garden Center. Phenomenal people. Love Hollis. Was there last week. And also our Big Sexy Report will get you. Brought to you by Delilah's Gentleman's Club and Steakhouse. Always on top, like those tailgaters you were talking about a minute ago, Trey.
Uh-huh.
Not too bad. Scott and Barrington.
Some of the best boobs you can see in the city.
Brother Mark, what's going
Scott,
on?
Scott, what's up, brother?
Jim and Uncle Troy, what's happening back there?
What's up, buddy?
Good, good. Always enjoyed listening to you guys. Had to work. Ask you guys a question. Off on that last game, but we all saw a secondary. How the hell are they going to guard Julio? What would be your game plan?
Not let Matt Ryan complete passes. That's what I was just, no. It also, what I would like to do is make sure that if you are going to have that pressure with Jim Schwartz talked about yesterday, is make sure you have that safety over the top, just as that safety valve,
yeah, right?
Because it's not just Julio Jones; it's Calvin Ridley being able to get after it, and it's also Mohamed Sanu, and it's a pretty decent tight end in Austin Hooper. So they're pretty well stacked when it comes to receiving weapons.
Okay. All right, thanks for the answer, fellas. Love you guys. Peace, God bless, and let's go Eagles.
There, go Birds, baby. Go Birds, Scott. Thanks for the call, brother. Kenneth in Lexington, what's up, bro?
What's going on, fellas?
Hey,
how's your day, man?
Great, brother.
Hey, I don't even live in Philly, man. Shout out to Deshaun Jackson, though. That's my guy.
Are you in Kentucky?
Back in Philly, though. You feel me?
Are you in Kentucky?
Yeah. Yes,
okay.
Sir. Yes, sir. I was reading about the microphone guy, and I just kind of wanted to chime in on it. I think it's really messed up that, first of all, you call yourself an Eagles fan and you don't know who a Sixers player is.
I follow all the teams. I know that there's people that don't, but that is rather odd.
I mean, all I'm saying is, you know, I'm diehard L.A. everything, and I know who everybody is, but... Anyway, I feel like those guys, if they're going to break up their little group and they're going to, you know, dismantle, they need to give those tickets to little poor African-American kids that can't afford to go to games. That should be punishment enough for them. I don't understand how you can try to sue somebody.
Apparently they're not.
They weren't.
Apparently they're not. And yeah, any charitable donation I'd be 100% for.
Yeah, me too, man. I mean, it's to me, it's just ridiculous. The word's getting thrown around a little bit too loosely nowadays, and it needs to stop. I mean, at the end of the day, you're a sports fan. You're there to watch people play. 90% of the NFL is African-American, but then you want to call this guy the N-word because you think he just goes to work every day. That's not right.
No, and I'm with you there. I think any racial slur we kind of need to do away with. I mean, let's be honest here. But I'll say this. Regarding that word being used at the tailgate, my source told me, as I told you many times yesterday, that word came after the fight. It wasn't a reason for. Now, other people have reported that, no, it was used throughout. And then people claim to have been there and said, oh, I never even heard it. It's being made up.
Microphone guy said he would bet that it was used.
Who the hell says that?
Here's the thing. And one of the things he said that really went up my butt. We didn't know that he played for the 76ers. He was Mike Scott. Meaning to say, we wouldn't have done it if we knew it was him.
Right.
I don't care if he was anybody, if he was the guy, you know, who does whatever for a living.
It almost makes it worse.
It does. Mm. I don't care if you didn't know he was a 76er.
Now more people will find out.
You don't do that to a human being.
Now more people will find out that we're jerks.
I mean, more or less, he said, you know, after like 20 minutes or so when we realized what had happened, that's when they started to feel remorse.
Mm-hmm. And that's when they circled their wagons and started having meetings about, what do we do now?
Yeah.
Hey, look, I listened to it yesterday, and he did sound remorseful, but...
He did, but...
But how much longer would this have gone on
exactly.
if it wasn't Mike Scott? That's the unfortunate thing.
And how many times has it happened in the past?
Right.
Yeah.
They're not first-time tailgaters.
Yeah. The fact that he was comfortable saying what he said with a 20-something girl standing in front of him is inexcusable to me. And I don't... Remorse, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me.
I'm glad we were able to obtain the soundbite that became that guy's air check where he had to check himself. Basically, is what happened.
Yeah, good work by you.
Sam, it's a team effort. Sam, do you have a final on our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation?
This morning we asked, who do you have a shorter fuse with, Gabe Kapler or Jim Schwartz? We had over 2,000 votes today. It dropped another percentage point since the last time I gave it to you guys. 72% said Gabe Kapler.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see here. That's brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on any style window, plus make no down payments or no interest for no interest or 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. Sam Wilson, what is your takeaway of the day?
My takeaway is that even though the Falcons are also birds, Hugh Douglas said he's going with the birds this weekend, and he definitely meant the Eagles.
I know it. Thank you very much. Yes. Jamie Lynch.
My takeaway of the day is I learned a new word today from our own Trey Thomas.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Never heard of Badoosie before.
Oh, yeah. It's an aroma.
I'll have to hit that one up on
you
the old Urban Dictionary.
Is there a candle you can buy
at
a CVS or something?
Is there a Febreze scent of that?
Oh, you say like it's a musk? Yeah, definitely a musk.
There's like new car scent, the pine tree.
And then cocoa butter and Badoosie.
Cocoa butter and Badoosie.
One more time, pronounce that?
Badoosie.
Badoosie.
Badoosie. All right, see, I got a lot to learn.
I have grossed out chills over here. It's gross.
Oh, well, it ain't going to get any better with my takeaway today. Bob Cooney's takeaway today.
The Hammer, The Answer. We have some great, great nicknames here in the city of Philadelphia, but none is better than Bullet Wound.
Bullet Wound. Very nice.
My man, Senor.
Senor
Bullet Wound.
Respect on it.
Yes.
Yeah. Trey, take away the day.
Hey, happy hump day.
Happy hump day, everybody.
And also, too, all to the families that were affected by 9/11.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. My takeaway of the day, I didn't realize that one of us, somebody significant other, would slide into the DMs the way Dion slid into Jamie's DMs.
I responded to him, and he said, "Don't you come talking to me now after you blew up my spot."
For the record, it was about JT Real Muto.
Yeah, we were talking catchers.
Stay tuned for Gargano Martinez Middays here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.